जयनाथ माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर हरि गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर हरि यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बना चादे यमुना तीरा बना चादे जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव जय जय गुरुदेव नितय गौर हरि बो हरि बो हरि बो गौर हरि बो नितय गौर प्रेमानंदे श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जाय संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जाय श्री श्री राध श्याम सुंदर की जाय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जाय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जाय श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalokaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayham Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripa Sintube Evacha Pachitanam Pavanepya Vaishnavepya Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So before I start, I wanted to thank the management who requested me to give a class, even though I have no qualification to do so, and it's only possible with the blessings of all the so many senior Vaishnavas in here, Prabhupada disciples, Maharaj. So if you kindly bless me, I may try to say something. Thank you. So we're continuing to read the Canto 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamalajuna Trees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. These are the final chapters in the Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada personally translated and explained. And actually, it's very amazing to think that he was describing such uplifting pastimes on his deathbed suffering, but nevertheless this physical condition never reflected on his consciousness. His Krishna consciousness was completely undisturbed by that, and we can see that from his amazing purports. So today we are going to read text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anta pravishya gangayam. Anta pravishya gangayam. Ambojavana rajini. Ambojavana rajini. Chikridatur yuvatibhi. Chikridatur yuvatibhi. Gajavivakarenubhi Anta pravishya gangayam Ambojavana rajini Chikridatur yuvatibhi Gajavivakarenubhi. Please. Anta pravishya gangaya ambojavana rajini.
Anta pravishya
ladies, please. Antaham, within, pravishya, entering, gangayam, the Ganges known as Mandakini, ambuja, of lotus flowers, vanarajini, where there was a congested forest. Chikridatuhu. The two of them used to enjoy. Yuvatibihi. In the company of young girls. Gajau. Two elephants. Iva. Just like. Karenubihi. With female elephants. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Within the waters of the Mandakini Ganges, which were crowded with gardens of lotus flowers, the two sons of Kuvera would enjoy young girls just like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. Purport. People generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish persons enter into Ganges to become involved in sinful life. It is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Everything spiritual and material depends on one's mental condition. Anta pravishya gangayam bhojavana jajini Chikridaturivatibir Gajavivakarenubi. Within the waters of the Mandakini Ganges, which were crowded with gardens of lotus flowers, the two sons of Kuvera would enjoy young girls just like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. This is a very interesting and instructive story of how the two celestial nudists were cursed/blessed by Narad Muni, Nalakuvar and Manigriff. They had very exalted position as sons of Kuvera, and they had wonderful opportunities to become elevated spiritually, but rather they were using the opportunity for degrading themselves. And it says here in the Sanskrit, Chikridatu, whom Srila Prabhupada translates, the two of them used to enjoy. So that means it was not the first instance when they were doing that stuff in the holy place in Ganges. So they were using holy place for sense gratification, which is of course one of the offenses of the holy dham. So they were doing this offense, and they were doing it for quite some time because they were associates of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh. Ashutosh means one who easily fulfills anyone's material desires. This is what Lord Shiva is known for. anyone who is approaching Lord Shiva or anyone who comes in contact with Lord Shiva having material desires has all these material desires very easily fulfilled. And sometimes we may wonder, how is that Lord Shiva, being a pure Vaishnava, why he is fulfilling people's material desires, even though he understands that it's not really good for them? Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that Lord Shiva, he himself is a pure Vaishnava, and he is completely renounced from all kinds of sense gratification. And nevertheless, his position is that he is the husband of Maya, of material nature. And so he is the lord of Maya in that sense. And therefore, he is capable of fulfilling anyone's material desires very easily. And so people go to Lord Shiva for the fulfillment of their material desires. And of course, these people, they are not very good association, they are not very desirable association. And so just to get rid of them very quickly, get rid of that bad association very quickly, Lord Shiva says, okay, you go and enjoy, you have your material desires granted. And the other reason, which is even more important, is that if someone has a material desire, one will not be able just to give up like that. That material desire has to be fulfilled before one actually realizes the futility of that material desire. And for that reason also, Lord Shiva just grants that benediction. But we can see that even though Nalakovar and Manigriff, they were abusing the facility they've got from Lord Shiva, and they were abusing their exalted position so much that eventually, so to speak, they got enough points on their driving licenses for three very severe offenses. You know, they performed three very bad offenses. You know, first of all, being naked. Second of all, enjoying like that in the holy place. And third of all is, of course, being involved in adultery. And so the transcendental traffic warden came along, Narada Muni, and he said, okay, your offense, these three offenses disqualify you from driving your vehicle any longer, human body. So you have to change the vehicle, you know, like you have to downgrade. In the same way as a driver has to downgrade from driving into walking, so he downgraded them from, you know, moving into standing in one place. And nevertheless, we will learn that it was a blessing in disguise. Why? Because Narad Muni not just turned them into the trees. Of course, first of all, why saintly personalities like Narad Muni curse people like that? It may appear to be a misuse of the power also. But actually it's not, because this is where Nalakovar and Manigriff were heading anyway. If someone wants to enjoy being naked, so this is a position of the tree. Trees, they don't dress up. So they stand naked, being completely exposed. And yeah, this is a karmic reaction for nudity, turning into a tree. Very sad. And so this is where Nalakovar and Manigriff were heading to. And Narad Muni just accelerated the process. He said, okay. But his blessing was that he allowed them to keep their human consciousness, even though it was pretty terrible, we can imagine. I mean, we can just imagine ourselves being in the place of Nalakovar and Manigrih. Just looking at ourselves, and instead of hands, you see tree branches. Instead of the body, you see the trunk, and you cannot move. Instead of feet, you have roots. You know, we have so much trouble just sitting throughout Bhagavatam class without moving for half an hour. Just imagine standing in one place, standing actually, not even sitting, but standing for thousands. I'm not sure. I mean, Yamal Arjuna trees are living very long life, I heard. 36,000 years just standing without moving and thinking about the mistakes they made. So they had a lot of time to think and regret very, very deeply about their mistakes, and therefore it is described that when they were finally liberated by Krishna, uprooted, and they came out of those wooden bodies, they were effulgent like a sun. I mean, they were so blissful, finally. It's over. The torture is over. And we can imagine that after such an experience, they never wanted to get entangled in material sense gratification anymore. And as Radharaman Maharaj quoted, one of the key verses from the chapter, very wonderful verse, Vani gunanu kathane shavano kathayam hastaucha karma sumanas. Tava padarna. Smrityam shiras tabanivas jagat praname drishti sata darshanistu bhavat tanunam. So this was their only prayer. This was the only thing they wanted. Bani gunal kathane shamanu kathayam. My dear Lord, let us always hear your instructions and discuss them. Bani gunanu kathane shamanu kathayam. And then hastau cha karmasu. Let our hands and other active organs be always engaged in the work for your pleasure. Let us physically do something for your pleasure. Manastava padayarna. And let our minds be always focused on your lotus feet. Which also includes being focused on the lotus feet, also includes being focused on the Lord's instruction, which are transmitted by his pure devotees, by spiritual masters. For example, if we look at the lotus feet of the deities, we can see that there is a Guru Parampara at the lotus feet. And so it's actually symbolic that they're always... Acharyas are always sheltered by the Lord's lotus feet because they show the way. Show the way by the living Lord's instructions. They show the way to the conditioned souls how to also come to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then further on, Nalakovar and Manigrih will say, Smrityam Shiras Tabanivas Jagat Praname. Let us always remember that everything and everyone in this world is connected with you, and let us always humbly bow down in front of everyone and everything, because they failed to do so in front of Narad Muni. So they realize that not only Narad Muni, but everyone is connected to the Lord. So because of our pride, we got into such a trouble. So please, my dear Lord, let us develop true humility. and realize your presence within everyone and everything and bow down in front of everyone and everything. Can you imagine such a humility? Bowing down not only in front of the devotees, ordinary people, animals, even bowing down in front of chair, table, understanding the Lord's presence in everything. That's a level of humility. Nalakovar and Manigrib developed. But we can see practically that Srila Prabhupada was showing that by his own example, being very careful about everything, about even material things, so-called material things. And he was very disappointed when devotees were misusing material things. Water, light, or unnecessarily wasting something, because he was making a point. It all belongs to Krishna, and if we just, you know, waste things, it's a kind of disrespect towards Krishna, which actually comes from pride. And of course, he was making this point many times in America, because America is known for being very wasteful. Of course, now there are repercussions for that. And so now people are trying to change that gradually. But yes, this is the idea. If we are humble, we'll be very careful about not only everyone, but also about everything, because everything is connected to Krishna and belongs to Krishna. And then the last point they raised, drishti satam darshanistu pavattanunam, and let us always have darshan of your devotees, because they are no different from you. So they prayed to always be in the association of Vaishnavas. So this is very, I mean, this simple prayer is a fruit of 36,000 years of their meditation. So it's very powerful. Therefore, it encapsulates the essence of Krishna consciousness, really. It encapsulates what we really should strive for, what we should really pray, and what we should really desire. So Prabhupada explains that living entity cannot avoid desire. Desire is a symptom of life, but instead of having wrong desires, we should have right desires. And this is the prayer is explaining what we should strive for, what we should desire. But of course, in regards to this particular instance we are discussing, at the moment when they were just enjoying themselves in the Ganges, committing all these offenses, of course, for the last time. But this is what Lord Sri Krishna personally condemned very thoroughly. And Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse many, many times. This verse is coming from the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, when all the residents of Dwaraka assembled at Kurukshetra, and they were performing sacrifice, and Lord Sri Krishna received great sages and saints who arrived there. So he addressed them, and within this address he said something very important, and this verse is, I'm sure, very well known. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri tatuke svadhi kalatradish voma ichadi. So this verse is explaining yasatma buddhi kunapetri tatuke, that Those who are basically, he explains the mentality of people who are no better than animals, no better than asses. Kara, the last word of the verse says. So those who are no better than foolish animals, those who are no better than asses. Yasyatma buddhi kuna petri tatuke. They identify themselves with the body made of the three elements, bile, mucus, and air. Kapha pita vata. If anyone knows, I read these are the three components of the body. So it's basically skin bag filled with different unspeakable substances. And the unspeakable substances, they emanate from certain gates of the body which are below the waist. And so therefore, civilized human beings, they cover themselves at the very minimum coverage is that they cover that part of the body from which the waste products emanating from, right? So it's rather natural. I mean, we cover our waste bins. So waste gates have to be covered. But if someone becomes so foolish and so engrossed in the body, they go naked, they advertise their waste gates, which is very offensive for exalted people. But this is how people degrade themselves. And yeah, this is the identification with the body. People become proud of that bag of bones and other things. What is it to be proud of? Actually, for any advanced spiritually person, it's an embarrassment to carry on ourselves this bag of bones. But of course, elderly people can understand it better than young people. But yeah, at that point, Nalakuvar and Manigrip, they were very young and they were completely engrossed into that identification. And then further on it says, Svadi kalatradishu bhoma echadi, thinking that the products of the body, such as relatives and children, they are mine. And so in this case, Nalakuvar and Manigrip, they were identifying themselves with those girls. They were thinking, oh, these are our girls and we can enjoy them. These are extensions of our bodies. And then, Yatirta Buddhi Shalileena Karichit. It says that those who are going to the places of pilgrimage, Yatirta, and then Buddhi Shalileena Karichit, thinking that it's just enough to take bath in there. So this is what Nalakuvar and Manigrip were doing. They were taking bath in holy Ganges. And they were thinking that's good enough. We don't need to worry about anything else. And it says, Janesha Abhigeshu Saiva Gokara, that any thoughtful man will understand that this kind of mentality is animalistic mentality. Mentality of an ass. So it was rather precarious condition for these two exalted personalities like Nalakuvar and Manigrip because they were so much abusing and misusing their human form of life that Narada's correction actually saved them from a lot of trouble. Because if not for Narada, they would just be completely lost in the cycle of repeated births and deaths. They would just go straight back to the material existence. But by Narada's blessing, this curse became a blessing because it corrected their mentality and they became liberated. They got such an amazing benediction from Lord Krishna. He said, you can even go back to your heavenly planet now, but you'll never become conditioned. So you can enjoy heavenly life for the rest of your lifespan in the bodies of the demigods, And after that life, happy life in the material world, in heaven, you'll go back to the spiritual world. What a wonderful benediction. Have all the best from both worlds, material and spiritual. But they earned that, they paid very high price for that, of course, we can understand. And one other interesting point in here is that, well, there are a number of points. And we spoke that Lord Shiva, he allowed them that facility, and Lord Shiva being omniscient, he also knew how they will be using that facility or abusing it. So, but he didn't mind, because he knew that the time will come, they will be straightened out. And it happened. They were bathing in Ganges. They got the blessing of Lord Shiva. They were misusing it, but it was actually teamwork to get them back on track. Ganga Devi, Lord Shiva, and then Narad Muni put a final touch on them. And so, yeah, they got the blessing of Vaishnava Association finally. And in fact, this is how it happens quite often, actually, because those people who are very much interested in self-gratification and degraded lifestyle, they're very prone to approach Lord Shiva to get his blessings. But one way or the other, we can see historically, whether from scripture or from the present-day history of ISKCON, that those people who are coming in touch with Lord Shiva, finally, they come to the shelter of Krishna. And so this is a historical account from Bhagavatam, but I know one modern-day story. I'm sure it's not the only one. And I'm sure that actually there are many, many instances when devotees first, before coming across Krishna, they came across Lord Shiva and were worshipping Lord Shiva for some time. I can admit that I was doing that before. First I came across Lord Shiva and was chanting Lord Shiva's pranam mantra, Om Namo Shivaya. Anyone else who had this experience of coming across Lord Shiva and worshipping him? Okay, so we have a few instances in here. And I just don't want to repeat the story, and I can't remember if I told the story here before. Maybe Pushkar Prabhu can recall. If I told the story about one devotee who was a leader or ringleader of criminal gang who was worshipping Lord Shiva, and he came to ISKCON. No, from Russia. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So, yeah. This devotee actually joined the temple where I used to be a temple president in Russia. So I know this story from first hand. And he was a ringleader in Russia of one gang of robbers, juvenile robbers. And he was worshipping Lord Shiva. He was chanting Lord Shiva's mantra. And of course, it's very exciting, you know, for this kind of people to worship Lord Shiva, because you can do something spiritual and you can joy to the max. I mean, in the city where I stayed, in Russia, we have a huge group of Shaivites, not traditional Shaivites, but neo-Shaivites, Russians who took up those practices. And, you know, they kind of, many of them, they kind of connected with devotees. Actually, a few of them, they are ex-ISKCON devotees. And therefore, they emulate some of the ISKCON practices. So we have traditional Sunday feasts, and we invite people for those Sunday feasts. We distribute leaflets. So they also have their Sunday program, and they distribute leaflets, but they invite people for Sunday smoke. Please come and have a Sunday smoke with us. Sunday pot. And of course, you know, it's very exciting for these kind of people because they feel that they're doing something spiritual, but at the same time, they don't have to follow anything. They can just enjoy. Shiv Prasad, they call it. Anyway, this young boy, he was from that category. And once they decided to rob one shop at night because they knew that the cash is kept on premises overnight. And so they went in, they broke the lock, but they didn't know that the alarm sounded in the nearby police station. It, you know, in the shop it was completely quiet. And so they got the money and they were about to leave the shop when they realized that they're completely surrounded by the police forces from all sides. And they actually chose moonless night, Amavasya, just to make sure that no one can see them in the light of the moon. And they saw that police, you know, the police vehicles, they had these huge lamps. They pointed at the shop and at them, make sure that they can see everything and everyone. So they were blinded by this light, and then police started announcing through the loudspeakers that you're all surrounded by us, by police forces, so please surrender. And so some of them were trying to escape, but police forces, there were a lot of policemen, and they were catching everyone one by one. And that boy, because he was a ringleader, he had a suitcase, briefcase with all the money inside. And so there was a car park attached to the shop. And so he was hiding between the cars, and policemen, they were kind of tightening the circle. And he realized that there is no escape. He was sitting between the two cars, and his briefcase was next to him. And he realized that he is a ringleader. He'll get the most, you know, the longest sentence in jail for that. And he had no other shelter than just pray to Lord Shiva for protection. And he started praying, you can imagine, from all the heart. Oh, my dear Lord Shiva, please protect me. Please make sure, somehow, I don't know how, that I won't get arrested. I realize that I've done this bad thing, and I promise you, if you save me this time, I'll never do any criminal activity any longer. I'll never do any bad thing in my life, and I promise that I become very, very serious about my spiritual development. So he made that vow on the spot. And then he said, he saw that the sky, the part of the sky was lit. And he was like, looking at the sky, he couldn't understand why the part of the sky was lit. And then he saw Lord Shiva in person, in there, in that spot of light. And Lord Shiva, he said, he was standing there in the sky, and he was kind of smiling, you know, with dressed in a deer skin and with long flowing hair. And he kind of showed him like that, Abhay Mudra, don't worry, and kind of blessed him. And then he disappeared. And this boy said he was so shocked by that vision of Lord Shiva in the sky that he even forgot about police and everything. He was just thinking, oh my God, I just saw Lord Shiva. And then next thing happened, you know, these policemen, they had the torchlights in their hands, and they were searching for others who were probably hiding, etc. And then one of the policemen directed torchlight right in his face, so much so that he was blinded by that. And he thought, that's it. They found me, they will arrest me. But somehow the policeman never said anything. He just directed torchlight at him, and then he moved the light further, and then the light fell on the briefcase. And he said, wow, I found the briefcase. That must be the money. And so he actually moved away from the briefcase, and police came, picked up the briefcase, and they left. All of them left. And so he was the only one who was not arrested. And none of his associates, none of his friends gave him in. None of his friends, you know, told anything to the police about him. And so they all got sued for that, but he got out of it. But then he realized, okay, it was really special mercy of Lord Shiva, how that was possible, that police was looking at him, they couldn't see him like that. And he realized, okay, now I have to, you know, fulfill my promise. So how do I do that? How do I completely surrender to the Lord? And then, a few days later, he comes across a devotee distributing books on the street, and devotee is preaching to him. And so he moves into the temple and becomes brahmachari. And he is still a very powerful preacher. He is second initiated now. Actually, now he moved to Mayapur. He lives in Mayapur. And he made a lot of people into devotees. So we can understand that by Lord Shiva's mercy, people do come to Krishna, because Lord Shiva is a Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. And so even though he apparently allows people to enjoy and kind of tolerates their nonsense like that, being very tolerant and compassionate, but still he has certain mission, and his mission is to actually bring these souls to Krishna. And so this is what we see in this story, and this is what we see in life also. And the main point of this verse is, of course, I mean, not of this verse, but the Prabhupada's purport is actually the main point of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very important, and that is Dharma Prajita Koita Vatra Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. That Bhagavatam's entire mission, we can say, is to uproot the false religiosity, false dharma. So, and in fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that these pastimes were in Krishna is dealing with different people in Vrindavan, killing demons and correcting different people like that. And Nalakovar and Manigriv is in that category. These pastimes, they exemplify certain obstacles on the path of the devotee, and Nalakovar and Manigriv, it's very clear what they exemplify. It is pride coming from wealth. And Narad Muni will speak more on that subject further on, that wealth blinds people more than anything else. But it's not that wealth is an evil. You know, say, some people say that money is the root of all evil. No, it's not the money, but it's a desire to enjoy. Because we can see, actually, many, many examples in Bhagavatam. Very wealthy Vaishnavas. I mean, the entire Bhagavatam just describes Vaishnav kings. Who can be more wealthy than the king? But these were pure-hearted devotees who utilized everything they had for the Lord's pleasure. So it's not the money, it's not the wealth, which is the root of all evil, but it's a desire to enjoy it. It's a desire to use it for sense gratification. And this
is a very big obstacle in Krishna consciousness, because oftentimes people may be in trouble before they come to Krishna, and because of that they may start following Dharma, and then naturally Dharma produces Artha. It's compulsory. If anyone follows Dharma, Artha comes automatically. And of course, Artha gives opportunity for kama, for sense gratification. But the same thing is happening with everybody. But devotee understands that Dharma, which produces Artha, all this wealth is not mine. It's Krishna's, and therefore, whatever Krishna gives, I want to use for him. And as Prabhupada's example, he gained so much from Krishna. Krishna gave him so much wealth. Actually, officially, it all belonged to Srila Prabhupada. All the accounts with millions upon millions of dollars belonged to him. But he never used anything for his own self-gratification. He used it all for Krishna. So this is the idea that Dharma, and of course, Paradharma, is serving Krishna with love, naturally will produce Artha and will produce opportunities for sense gratification. But sincere devotee will understand that whatever wealth comes, I will use for Krishna, because it is Krishna who should enjoy. So kama belongs to Krishna, artha belongs to Krishna, and kama belongs to Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was saying that all the money in the world should be given to us, because we are the only ones who know how to use it. But there is a danger, potential danger of becoming bewildered by wealth. And by studying this pastime, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that we become purified from that danger. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, any... Yes, Mother Lakshmi Muni.
I just went... I think it was in 1970 or 71, I was transcribing Srila Prabhupada telling Krishna book stories. And he was writing the Krishna book. He wasn't telling stories, but he was writing the Krishna book. And he was telling the story of Banasura. And he was speaking about how Lord Shiva gave Banasura his benediction, you know. And he said that after Banasura was feeling his power, and he didn't know what to do with his power, and he was challenging everyone, trying to find somebody who was qualified to fight with him, Lord Shiva said to him, "You are such a foolish demon, but soon you will meet your match, and your flag of victory will no longer flap." And that was what Prabhupada said, "Your flag of victory will no longer flap." And I remember when the book came out, and I went and looked, and it said, "Your flag of victory will no longer fly," and I was so disappointed. But there's the same kind of thing. Lord Shiva gives you what you want, but he knows, you know, if he cares about you, he knows eventually you'll meet your match, and then your flag of victory will no longer flap.
Thank you. Yeah, it's another historical account of the same. Thank you, Mataji. Prabhu. Please wait for the microphone, because we have online listeners as well.
I know that in the case of Bharat Maharaj that he had that remembrance, but I don't remember reading where Manigriva and Nala Kuvera were conscious. Yeah, I just wonder where it says in there that they were remembering their previous situation.
Yeah, it says, I mean, I remember it from Krishna book. It says that by the mercy of Narad Muni, their consciousness, human consciousness, was intact. They had human consciousness even while being in those three bodies.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure it's in Bhagavatam also. Mother Lakshmi Muni again.
One other thing, that in the Gopala Champu and Jiva Goswami, he narrates the whole story of Krishna's pastimes through the mouth of Nalakuvera Manigriva after the trees were taken down.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, because they were trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, they were witness to all of Krishna's pastimes. And they were watching all of the different activities from a bird's eye view. So they saw everybody's reaction to everything that Krishna did. They saw how Mother Jasoda reacted, how Nanda Maharaj reacted, how the birds reacted, how the cowherd boys reacted. And in the Gopala Champu, they're narrating that whole experience to all the Vrajabasis. And they at first, no one knows who they were. And then they're asked, well, who are you? How do you know all this? And then they reveal that they had actually been standing as trees and they were liberated by Krishna and they were Nalakuvera Manigriva.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Yes, I found the confirmation in the text. Text 20 through 22, Narad Muni says, this will be proper punishment to make them trees. Nonetheless, after they become trees and until they are released, by my mercy, they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Pushkar Brew, thank you.
So in the realm of human interest, because you like human interest stories, but when I was a small kid, ever since I was born, my father was a painter, right? And he only would use Shiva paints. Mm. It's a fact. You know, I remember going with him, like in Manhattan, to different art stores. We went to one art store. He said, do you have Shiva paints? No. He wouldn't buy any other paint.
Well.
And he was only somehow attracted to Shiva paint. So when I was growing up, I always saw Shiva. You know, as soon as I could read, probably that was one of the first words I could read, because those tubes were always, they still have this type of paint too. Oh. So I distinctly remember walking in the store, I'm like 5, 6 years old. He says, do you have Shiva oil paints? I says, no. And there's hundreds of, you know, there must be 30 types of oil paints, you know. And Shiva's not a really good brand, but he insisted only in having Shiva paint.
Interesting. Yes, actually, the word Shiva itself means auspicious. Thank you.
I have a silly human interest question. Now, when Lord Shiva appeared to that devotee in Russia, was he speaking to him in Russian? Or did that devotee understand English?
Sorry, I couldn't.
I was just joking about that pastime about the guy, you know, in the parking lot. Did the Lord Shiva speak to him in Russian, or did the devotee understand English?
Well, not sure.
No, I mean, were they speaking English like in Prabhupada's books? I'm just joking.
Well, apparently Lord Shiva didn't talk to him at all. He just showed him the gesture, and he realized that Lord Shiva is protecting him. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Anything? So we'll finish here. Thank you all very much for your kind listening. Hare Krishna. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.